What do you hope to hear in this morning's sermon? Perhaps you've had a particularly challenging and difficult week. Perhaps you're in a particularly challenging chapter in your life. And perhaps you come here hoping to hear words of comfort. Above all else, that is what you need to hear at this moment. Others of you may be here this morning, and you may feel like your faith journey has been somewhat static, and you're hoping to hear some words of challenge, something that will shake up your assumptions and make you receptive to the new word that God is trying to give you. It used to be said that the job of the preacher is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So what do you hope to be this morning? Do you hope to be comforted or do you hope to be afflicted? And not afflicted, but challenged. And I suspect that most of us are some mixture of both. There are areas in our lives where we do need comfort, where we do need the help of others. And there are areas in our life where we need to be challenged, where we need to be encouraged to give up the old destructive habits and bit by bit build new habits. On this Martin Luther King weekend, I'm remembering back on some of the sermons that I've read from Dr. King, as well as some that I've heard recordings of. And one of the things that he was a genius at was in comforting and challenging at the same time. He might well begin with words of comfort, and then at a certain point in the sermon, it would turn with very prophetic words of challenge. And Jesus was very much the same kind of teacher long before Dr. King. Jesus was the kind of teacher who would both comfort and challenge. And this scene that we just read also plays out in the Gospel of Matthew. The disciples and those around Jesus ask, "Why do you teach in parables?" And Jesus says, "I teach in parables because seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand." And so in Matthew, the reason that Jesus teaches in parables is to make things easier to understand, to help the people who have had difficulty understanding finally get what they need to get. But in Mark, that scene plays out very differently. Mark, like Matthew, quotes from Isaiah chapter 6. But in Mark, when the disciples and others ask Jesus, "Why do you teach in parables?" Jesus says, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." In Mark, it's a much harsher sounding word, as if Jesus is saying, the reason that I teach in parables is that so most people won't get it. Most people will continue to be confused. And so I can understand why Matthew perhaps has a very different take on this. And that last line from Mark, "so that they may not turn again and be forgiven," Matthew completely omits. Now, isn't it interesting that the two gospel writers give us a very different take on why Jesus taught in parables? And instead of trying to ask which one is right, I think both are right. And this only affirms Jesus as a teacher who both comforts and challenges. Because many times we do need that word of comfort. If we find ourselves surrounded by the birds, we need hope that the seed perhaps could take root even then. And if we find ourselves among the thorn and the rocks, we also need hope that maybe even then the seed could take root and grow, that loving friends would come and help clear out the rocks and thorns in our lives to help us do that difficult work. There are times when we really do need to be comforted. And sometimes we need challenge. It may be that we need to expand our whole notion of God's grace. Many people hear this parable and they wonder, well, why does a sower even bother sowing seeds among where the birds are or among the rocks and the thorns? Why not just sow the seeds on ground that has already been plowed? That makes the most sense. There's a story about a farmer who attended a Bible study, and they read this parable of the sower. And most of the time, he was just shaking his head as he heard this, as he heard about this sower who just sowed seeds everywhere. And seeds are expensive. They're a commodity. And then finally, the farmer spoke up and said, well, it's clear from this parable that Jesus was a carpenter and not a farmer. But ultimately, the parable is about something much deeper than farming. It really is about the character of God. And what do we learn about the character of God? That God sows everywhere. Even among the birds, the rocks, and the thorns, even in those places where we wouldn't think that the seed would grow. But God has reasons for sowing anyway. And even when seeds are eaten by the birds, they eventually come out again. And even when sown among rocks and thorns, again, those can be cleared. And so if we have this notion of a tight economy about God's grace, we really are challenged to expand that notion. And for us to become generous sowers, we should give words of encouragement. We should reach out, whether we think that our outreach is likely to be reciprocated or not. We can be challenged to be generous in our outreach. And we can be challenged to clear the rocks and thorns in our own lives. And challenged to realize that we cannot do this on our own. We have to have the help of our fellow Christians, of our friends who are journeying together and following Jesus. And so the word of challenge for all of us here is, what are the rocks and thorns in your life that are choking out the word? What are the concerns that are so overwhelming that you can't think about anything else? What is it in your life that needs clearing? And you'll never hear that word of challenge about clearing out the rocks and thorns in your own lives without also hearing those words of comfort that God does not give up, that the sower has sown seed there anyway. I don't pretend to understand the mysteries of God. I don't understand why God would harden the heart of Pharaoh and then clobber Pharaoh for being so hard-hearted. It never has seemed quite fair. But even though I don't understand the mysteries of God, what I do believe is this, is that God is very much the prodigal sower, sowing seed in all the places that we expect it to grow and in all the places that we might think it would never grow. And one way or another, God is bringing about an abundant harvest from all that seed that has been sown. And this harvest will exceed all our expectations. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.